Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 75 for Thursday, October 20th, 2011. And we're just going to jump into it. No preamble, no attempted funny banter, which I know isn't funny at all. I am Phil Nickinson, your host for this little thing. With us, we have Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
Hey, everybody.
Corey Streeter from the forums.
Good evening. How's everyone doing?
Mickey Papillon, a.k.a. the cell phone junkie.
And glad to be back.
And way over in England, and I know everybody watching live right now can't see him, but Alex Dobie is with us as well.
Hey, guys.
So tonight, we probably have to cover the most news in Android history that has dropped it a single time. And I think we're going to start it off with the HTC Rhyme, because I think we're finally about ready to get our review of that done. And really, I kept a straight face, and I get nothing from you guys. Nothing. Come on. No, all we have to talk about tonight is a little thing called Ice Cream Sandwich and a little thing called the Samsung Galaxy Nexus. I'm trying to decide which one I want to start with. Either.
The phone.
The phone? You want to do the phone first? So it's finally official. Yeah. It's officially official. The Samsung Galaxy Nexus from Samsung. It's a Nexus. It's a Galaxy. Let me ask you this. I mean, we've all seen all the posts. Do we need to run over the specs? Should we? Yeah?
Briefly.
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
And the specs are as follows. Obviously, Ice Cream Sandwich, Android 4.0. It's got a 4.6-inch HD Super AMOLED or Super AMOLED HD display. 1280 by 720 resolution. 1.2 gigahertz. OMAP 4460. That's TI OMAP 4460 processor. Giga RAM. More radios in it than any other phone you've probably seen. 1750 milliamp hour battery, 5-megapixel rear camera with zero shutter lag, and that's a big deal. We'll talk more about that in a minute. What else? It's thin. It's only where'd that spec go? It's right in front of me. There it is. 8.9 millimeters thin or thick. Now, I don't think that's counting the little camera hump or the battery, not the camera hump, but the battery hump down at the bottom or whatever the hump is. So, you know, but the damn thing's pretty thin and it looks sexy. I haven't gotten to see it yet. So a little background. You remember they were supposed to announce and show this thing at CTIA last week in San Diego where we were. And I know I mentioned it on the podcast we did from California, but damn, it was nice out there. So it got postponed for whatever reason, and they moved it to China. And no, I was not going to go to China 2 days after coming home from California. So that's fine. We should have review units shortly, and everybody else will have one in November, just as soon as Google and or whoever the carriers, it will be released on, get their stuff together. So nobody's really announced it, right? Alex, you have carriers in the UK who said they're getting
it. We do. We've got 3, O2, and Vodafone, which is what you really expect. The only other two that don't have it tend to kind of drag their feet on sort of cool new devices. So no surprises there, but at least we'll have a choice over here, which is not something that's necessarily guaranteed in the US.
Do you have dates on that?
I think Clove was saying second week of November, which would fit with the Verizon stuff we've been hearing, which I think was the 10th.
Verizon? Who said this thing was coming out of Verizon? Oh my God. We keep getting more and more tips that, hey, it's confirmed to be on Verizon. I'm like, what have I been telling you for months now? 3 months. 3 months now we've been saying Verizon. I don't know how much more. I mean, it's coming on Verizon. We know that. Still, the big question is, if Verizon has some sort of exclusivity on it, how long it's going to be. And I think we're all in agreement, the other carriers in the U.S., like, there will be a GSM version in the United States. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, I mean, seriously, people need to calm down about that. It's coming. It's coming out soon. November 10th is the date that's floating around in the latest minimum advertised pricing sheets from Verizon. In fact, what are we talking about on the pricing on contract on Verizon? Is that $300?
Trying to remember. I think so, yeah.
Somewhere around there.
On the map list.
I don't think you're going to get any cheaper than that, right? I mean, if ever there was a high-end phone, this is it.
600 and some change off contract.
Yeah. Damn, it's a lot of money. But damn, it's a lot of fun. I can't wait to touch it. I mean, it's only so much we can say right now till we get in our hands and get to use it. But what do you guys think? Anything stand out? I know the camera's been a big bone of contention for a lot of people because it's only 5 megapixels. But I mean, how big do you really, what do you do with pictures that you need more than 5 megapixels right now? If you're only showing them to people online, you know, physically, they do not need to stretch any bigger when you're talking resolution, right?
Yeah, and the point is most 8-megapixel cameras, at least on a phone, have more megapixels than is good for them. If you zoom right in and you look at the pixels and the really, really sort of up close, you can see that you don't need that kind of resolution there. And mostly when you zoom right in, it's just a blur anyway, even in sharply focused stuff.
Let me put it this way. So here's the camera that I take to events, right, and do all the reviews with. And I take pictures at 2.5 megapixels on this because I'm going to scale them down anyway, right? And I think I do most of mine at like 1,000 by 700 when they finally hit the web. And those are the big versions. You know, so this is, it's shooting at 1296 by 1936. So, I mean, you don't need a full 8-megapixel thing unless you're going to, like, print it out really huge or really, really need to zoom in tight. I mean, it's just not necessary, right?
Well, we want to know more about the lens, right?
Yeah, and right. And I'm not a camera buff. I just know, like, if you look at the picture and it sucks, it's got crappy optics, right? Zero shutter lag, so that is a big deal. And they did a really nice job of showing this off. Romain Guy from Google has really nice videos that he's done on it. And you can see, you know, they're pushing the button, pushing the button, pushing the button, pushing the button, pushing the button. And taking pictures just, you know, one after another. It's really impressive. But there's no physical camera button, right?
And we put up a post with a poll.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to throw it in the comments, but I figured I'd say it tonight. Everybody was saying, well, that picture doesn't look all that good. Go to the source link. We've optimized that picture for the web. You want to look at the full resolution version of that picture.
What, from the one I did this morning?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. And that's just a screenshot of it. Yeah. Don't go by what we posted, because what we post, the quality gets lessened because that's just the way it works anyway. You know, I think we take it down to like 75% or something. I forget what. Absolutely. Go to the source link on Google Plus. And
they're not bad pictures at all.
No. They're really excellent, actually. So that's the camera. What else? I don't know why people are freaking out about the processor. It's TIO map, okay. And Jerry, you've been writing, especially in your piece today, about which phones will get Ice Cream Sandwich, you think, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But I mean, TIO map, Tegra 2, I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I think it's going to be fast anyway, right? Yeah.
You know, that's something, and I'm going to say the A word that everybody hates, but that's something Apple taught us. We should not have to worry about the processor.
Yeah, I mean, I could care less about the processor. I couldn't care less about the processor.
That processor and the GPU in it, it's going to be just fine. Everybody's saying, oh, they used an old GPU. They used a GPU that's in 60 million other devices that run 3D games.
Yeah.
And it's clocked higher in the 4460, isn't it, than other devices, the GPU.
Yes.
But this is the first time it's being used with an OS that's optimized for it too, right?
Right.
So it's going to be a big difference than what we've seen on other devices.
There's some rumor going around that it's underpowered for a screen res like that, and we're not worried about that, right?
Not a bit.
Okay.
I mean, people are running a full-blown Ubuntu desktop on that processor and GPU without much of a problem.
There you go. Now, Mickey, you've been kind of watching this from the side, and you are a master of all cell phones. So what do you think from what you've seen this week?
So I'm looking at this with actually quite a bit of interest, because I'm really hoping that this is going to be that next Nexus that I decide to buy. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since I've had my own Android phone, I'm not going to lie. And it's just because everything out there has been very mediocre. I know they're really good phones, but nothing has really pushed me over to actually buying one again. And so when I saw the specs and I actually watched the whole presentation, it was, my wife was sitting there watching it with me, and I said, I'm going to buy this. I have to. I have to get my hands on this. I need something that is going to take Android into the future. And I didn't really realize, shame on me, what Ice Cream Sandwich was going to mean. And I know we'll get into that here a little bit, but the hardware itself is fine by me. If for some reason the unsubsidized HSPA Plus price comes in at something absorbed, you know, totally ridiculous over $700 or something, I may look at trying to pick up a, you know, one of the old Nexus S's just to have something with Ice Cream Sandwich on it, because honestly, that's what I'm more interested in at this point.
Anything else on the hardware? Curved screen, a little bit curved. The Verizon version is going to be a tad thicker than what we've seen so far, and I think than what you see in the pictures, because it'll have an LTE radio. Nobody should be surprised by that, right? And we've seen, right. I guess we haven't seen the Verizon, you know, Galaxy S2, because I assume this is it, but maybe it's not. I don't know. But I'd assume it's going to be comparable to the Sprint version, I would think, and that's still pretty damn thin. So.
I don't think there is, but do you get, just to throw it out there, do you think there'll be any variance in the hardware specs on the Verizon version?
I wouldn't think so.
No, there shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I hope not.
What do you guys think about, and I was kind of talking to Jerry about this earlier, this almost seems like just another phone launch, and maybe it's just too inside baseball. Maybe just the way the event was done. I've seen it, you know, a million times. And whereas the Nexus One was like, it was, and it was the first one, so obviously things are going to be different. And maybe it's because it's another Samsung Nexus. I don't know. You guys feel that way at all? Is it just me? Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely do. I think this was the next version of what they have built on in 2011. This is the culmination of everything that they've done this year. They've fine tuned it. They've tweaked it. They brought together some really great things with this, and they showed it off for the world to see. But it was you're right. It's just another phone, but it's what is coming on it as the first device with ICS that really I think sets it apart, and that's the more important thing to take from that.
And you know, I say that, you know, having gone to I don't know how many Samsung events in the past 2 years, so you know, not to say the novelty is worn off, and not that Samsung doesn't throw a good event, because they absolutely do. So maybe that's what it is for me. But yeah, the point is, I don't want the Nexus to become just like another phone release every year. You know, like it should be a little more special than that. And not that it wasn't hyped, because it was, you know, it's been hyped ridiculously. But I don't know. I just want it to be a little different and not just another launch.
See, I disagree.
Yeah.
I like seeing the Nexus being presented to the consumer a little bit more than the previous two were. This is going to be a good phone for a lot of people to use, not just developers. Mm-hmm. You know, Google has whatever they want to feature with Ice Cream Sandwich. They make sure that the Nexus is going to run it. Developers can buy it and won't have any problems making software that uses it. But Ice Cream Sandwich also takes Android. Let's face it, Android was ugly, man. Android stock Android is ugly.
Yeah.
Renee probably doesn't have a mic on, but I'll bet he's laughing because he knows it's ugly.
Well, you've seen that picture floating around this week, right? There was that picture showing the iPhone OS from 2007 or whenever it launched, and then 4 years later, and then the one of Android 1.0 versus now, you know, 2 years later, 3 years later.
Yeah.
And it's just night and day.
Since you bring that up, you know, one of the interesting things I heard this week was, you know, does this make HTC Sense irrelevant? Does it make Samsung's TouchWiz irrelevant? You know, Moto Blur and all those. Is this going to put those guys out of business? I don't think this is the death of any of them, right?
All right. So let's start getting into the Ice Cream Sandwich itself. Android 4.0. Start with that. Where do you want to start? You want to start with the UI? So the UI is different. It's all touch. And that's the other big difference with the Galaxy Nexus. No physical buttons, no capacitive buttons for home, menu, back, and search. It's all on screen now. And I think we all knew it was going that direction, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
they had hinted at that.
Yeah, we knew they were going to take that from Honeycomb. So no great surprise there. And it still has a bit of the Honeycomb feel to it, right? The buttons are similarly shaped.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the highlight post that is on the Google Developers blog. And if you haven't read that yet, and we'll do our own take on it as we get into this and start going through the features. But, you know, it's a really nice walkthrough of what's new and what's going on. You want to start the lock screen. So it's still a lock screen, And this is where I start wondering about carrier customizations. So the lock screen, you know, slide to unlock, whatever. It will also, and then this is the cool one everybody's freaking out about, it will recognize your face and say, "Hey, Phil, good to see you. I'll unlock now." Nice. And if Jerry sticks his face in there, it's going to say, "You fat bastard, I'm not unlocking for you." And it will actually say that. No, you can tell it to call Jerry a fat. No, it won't do that.
I hope you can.
What's it going to say to you, Phil?
Phil, you fat bastard.
If you insist to us, it just doesn't work for you.
No, I know. So, all right, so there's my question, right? I also am very madly in love with the HTC lock screen, right? Will it work in conjunction with the facial recognition? I would think so, right? I would think that'd be an API that, you know, it's not a protected API or whatever, Jerry?
We don't know yet.
Yeah.
It's going to be open source anyway, isn't it? So they could just
steal
the code, check it somewhere else.
Okay. So now that I'm no longer worried about the lock screen. So the little dock bar down at the bottom, it looks like they have borrowed. And I really do think, and I know they did a post of this at WP Central, and I've seen some of the independent developers talking about this as well. But it looks like they have borrowed features and ideas from other apps, from other platforms even, right? And that makes sense. I mean, it happens
all
the time.
Linux 10 years ago.
Oh.
Like Windows did.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Fluxbox used to look like that, and so did OpenBox long before Windows Phone 7 came around.
Oh, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'll take your word for
geek
it.
Geek stuff. Just geek stuff.
All right, so what's next on the list you want to look at? I mean, you've still got a launcher. You've got your grid down there at the bottom. I think customizing them looks a lot better. If you haven't watched the video of the announcement, they did a really nice job walking through these things, and we'll have our own videos shortly. But, you know, just the lag time is gone. Making folders on the desktop or on the desktop. See, I'm calling it a desktop already. On the home screen, it's just stupidly easy. You drop one app on top of another and it makes them a folder and simple, right? Very, very cool.
Yeah.
I love how you close screens now too, like in the browser and you close programs. That's really awesome.
Yeah, that is very cool. Definitely something sort of borrowed from WebOS, I think.
Explain how you do that because I've got a thing on that. Anyone?
So we've got in the multitasking menu, it's a swipe to the left or
right.
To the right, I think it's. Yeah, or maybe it's either direction, who knows.
As opposed to WebOS, where Matias Duarte came from, where you toss the card up. Don't think that wasn't on accident that it's going left and right instead of up and down.
As long as I don't have to close them myself and it still closes them intelligently,
right.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, and it should, right?
Of course it will, yeah.
And that's, you know, the multitasking is multitasking. And speaking of multitasking, that's been borrowed from Honeycomb, so you'll see the app previews. And they're live previews, aren't they? Or are they not? Am I thinking Windows? Because I'm sitting here looking at them on Windows. That'd be pretty awesome if they were, but I don't think they need to be, right?
I hope they're not live previews. Yeah. That's going to use a lot of resources.
Yeah, it is.
I hope they're like a snapshot of the last time it closed.
Right, right. And that's what it's going to be. Or just pull it like every minute or something. Not even that often, right? Resizable widgets, again, something we have in Honeycomb, so they brought that over as well. They should have. You can open the notifications in the lock screen, by the way, if you don't have a security pattern or whatever on there. Quicker response for incoming calls. Cool. Swipe to dismiss. That's what we were just talking about on notifications as well. I'm a little disappointed in the keyboard. It looks like the same old keyboard.
Yeah.
And
why? We haven't used it yet. I'm going to tell you like I tell everybody in the forums.
That's true.
Don't go by what it looks like.
That's true.
You know,
That's not true. I am going to go by what it looks like because here's the thing. I need my punctuation. I need my secondary functions on all these keys. I need the at symbol right there. I don't, you know, do not make me go into another layer to get punctuation.
You don't need the at symbol if it's not an email address entry box.
Or Twitter or the plus sign for Google Plus or.
Well, there you have a point.
I use it a lot. And that's absolutely why I can't use the stock Android keyboard. That's just me. But no, you're right. Luckily, we do need to use it. Yes.
luckily there's about 20 alternatives out there, right?
Right.
My biggest complaint mm-hmm. about keyboards on Android phones so far is they don't feel as, for some reason, they don't feel as responsive as, say, the iPhone, for example. It just, I don't know, it just doesn't
None
seem,
of them do, yeah.
Like can go as fast. So if the processor and the responsiveness of ICS improves that, then that'll be great.
You think I'll just that's
continue using the Gingerbread keyboard I've been using.
Alex, do you think that's the digitizer as much as anything else, the screen and the technology there, as it is the software?
Yeah.
It's a combination of both. I mean, they were talking about response time, weren't they? I'm not sure whether it was in relation to the OS or the screen, but I think there was a ridiculously low number that was given, like hundredths of a millisecond for mm-hmm. a response time. So I would have thought that would improve things somewhat. Like I say, we'll have to just see when we get the device, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I hope they can make something that's like the iPhone keyboard as far as responsiveness, mm-hmm. but like the stock Gingerbread keyboard with the way it expands so my big fat thumbs can hit the right key a little bit better.
Sure.
Merge those two things together and I'll be in love.
Voice input it really looks nice now. I'm not quite sure it's up to Siri level, and I haven't even used Siri yet, so I need to play with that. Hey, Renee, are you still listening? You want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, yeah. have you watched the video? Have you seen the voice input? And can you compare it to your use of Siri on the iPhone?
So I've always loved the voice control on the Nexus One and then the Nexus Line, because that was my first experience with it. But the thing that Siri does that's interesting is it's not just voice control. It's kind of like a conversation. Mm-hmm. So it understands context. Like if I say that Phil is my grand poobah, anytime in the future I can say, remind me to call my grand poobah as soon as I get home. And then the next time my phone tells me that I'm home, it'll pop up your phone number and dial you. So it does a lot of really – it's like the back end, I think, is just more clever. And it's a step anybody can do, but the natural language parsing is just the next step in those same technologies.
So Mickey – Andy Rubin at All Things – or at Asia D basically said, you know, he doesn't want to have a conversation with his phone. He doesn't want his phone to be an assistant. He wants it to be a tool. You're surrounded by a bunch of tools here and you're talking to us. What does that say? No. I mean,
the way that he put it, it just made it sound kind of kludgy. I was like, do you want to go back to just sitting around and listening to radio programs at night as well? You know, I get where he's going with mm-hmm, it, but mm-hmm. it's useful. There are good things about Siri and there are really good things about the way that Android does it. I totally agree with Renee. The voice input that Android has had for the last, you know, 3 years has been absolutely fantastic. I love it. I use it every time I get an Android device. You know, it's incredibly useful. There are portions of Siri that are playful and novel, but when it comes down to being able to speak out a response when you want to respond to someone in a situation where it's faster and or safer or better, that's when it makes sense. And so I think that it's going to continue to get better and to take off. And I think as the iPhone does it, I think Android will follow along, even if they say right now that that's not something they want to do.
It's two very different philosophies. I mean, one is very holistic and very Apple, and the other is very engineering and Google, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. You can tell who the nerds are and who the people with a little bit more view on what the consumers like are.
Yeah. But I think
personally, I was going to say, I like it like Google. I don't want my phone to talk to me. I don't want my phone to converse. I want to be able to grab my phone and say, call my wife. And it just doesn't.
And I think
I'm a nerd.
Google certainly has the back end to really, I mean, they could make it sexy at some point, right? Right now it's functional. Mm-hmm. I think they can add the sex pretty easy.
I don't think I'd ever get used to just talking to my phone. Maybe I'm too old or something, but I'm so used to typing things out and doing what I need to do and interacting with the phone with my hands. I just, the second that it starts making mistakes is the second that I get frustrated and don't want to use it anymore. And I hate that robotic voice. It just drives me nuts. If I start walking down the airport and I see everybody talking to their iPhones and that Siri talking back to them, I'm going to go.
It freaks out my daughter in the car when I talk to her. She's like, Dad, who are you talking to? I'm sending your mom a message. Well, why don't you just call her? Don't worry about it. I'll tell you when you're older.
How perfect is it? Renee, you've had some time with it. Is what would you say percentage wise, how well does it work?
It works. If you've used any sort of soft keyboard, you get used to there's a certain error factor when you're typing quickly on a soft keyboard. And this is no different. The only thing that Apple has done kind of special here is they made it, instead of just being, like Phil said, an engineering solution, they made it like a Pixar character. If they just called it Assistant, I would almost never use it. But they gave it a name, and it'll say it'll say cute phrases to you just enough so that you start to interact with it like you're watching a Disney cartoon. And that's what makes it engaging. But I think this is the same thing, Phil, when Steve Jobs said there'll never be video on an iPod.
Right.
It's what you say until you release it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Let's keep going down the features. Data usage. So there's a big, and it looks really nice.
Great.
A big thing that will track how data is being used on the phone overall, what apps you're using. You can, zoom in, zoom out. You can really dive deep into this thing. Here's my question. Is that going to be the first thing the carriers kill?
No, hell yeah.
No,
I don't know.
They don't want you to see that. They?
Yeah. Why would
every Sony Ericsson phone released this year, I think, has that.
Oh, really?
Yep. It's I'm not sure. It might have been preloaded on the stuff that was released earlier in the year, but the Arcs has it. I'm sure the Active and the Ray have it as well. So that's something that they've been starting to introduce. And no one's killed it over here so far. I don't know if our carriers are just a little bit less evil than yours.
No, a lot less evil.
Well, I don't think carriers want you to go over. I mean, of course, they're going to make money off that, but I don't think that they're going to kill the app because they want you to go over and pay all this extra overage fees.
Listen,
you're going to get it anyway. You're going to go into the market and you're going to download an app that does that anyway.
Yeah, they want you to use the one that says Verizon on the top of it, though. They want to control how it's distributed and who gets to use it.
Let me just stop this right here, because this is almost a totally moot point at this point. The CTIA this week announced that there's a partnership with the FCC and the Consumers Union that the U.S. wireless networks are now self-imposing guidelines about voice messaging and data use. So it is this Wireless Consumer Notification Guideline Act that they're putting in place. They have to have half of the alerts done within a year, the other half within 18 months, and you're going to be notified at the point at which you're approaching your limit for your voice and your data, and you can also set limits for international roaming use. This is stuff that they are proactively doing. So I would say 100% they are not going to pull this out, because it just makes it easier for them to help consumers.
And that's something I think every one of our carriers over here has, in that by a standard, it will just cut you off when you reach your limit rather than charge you a massive overage. I think all of our carriers have that. Not 100% sure, though.
I almost want to bet money on it somehow, because underestimate the carrier's desire to screw up. Somehow it always happens, and that's my guess.
There's actually some news on this week, right? Wasn't there?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This just happened this week. It was an announcement on Monday. That's what I'm saying. Within the next year, the carriers are going to tell you this. This is going to be law. They have to do this. And they are proactively doing this because the FCC was going to come after them and force legislation down their throat. And so they're proactively doing this. And it's something that's going to be very good for consumers. And there's commitments from the major carriers that represent something like 98% or 97% of all U.S. subscribers. So don't look at the carriers as one. I know we think of them, yes, they want to screw us. No, they want to make money. But if they're not making money because people are going over and bad things are then happening, and that consumer is not happy with the service that they're getting, and then they're going to government agencies to complain about the things that are happening. There's a story in the Consumerist this week. Do you guys see that? $201,000 a Florida woman got charged because she went up to Canada and started texting and using data and all this stuff. T-Mobile reduced her bill to $2,500 and gave her 6 months to pay it off, which, you know what, for this particular scenario, it made them look good because they were able to do this. But how much would they bill then from the carrier in Canada for all of this usage that that person used? Was it $2,500? Yeah. Was it more? Who knows? So they have to have these usage guidelines put in place to really make what's happening with mobile go forward, and so we don't have all these problems that we're constantly having.
Well, let me rephrase it. Maybe they don't actively want to screw us, but I think they just can't help it. It always happens somehow.
Well,
you get mad at us when we talk about
people are the ones that are doing this. Come on, you know, how hard is it to figure out you're going to Canada?
It is big robot carrier. It will crush me.
You get a text message when you enter the country that says you're in a new country. Come on. You know that you're going to get charged more.
2 years ago when I came back from Barcelona, as I landed New York at JFK, I got the message saying, hey, you went over your limit like 2 days ago. It was pretty awesome. Just saying.
Well, aside from that, that app looks dang good.
Oh, yeah, it does. It looks awesome.
It's yeah, you can like slide it around, right?
Mm-hmm.
The little slider that you can move up and down. One thing missing from
it is ads to VCast or T-Mobile Mall.
Ooh.
And that's why I think the carriers are going to yank it out and put their own in it.
Ooh. True. Mm-hmm. Or what if there were a big button that said, hey, buy more minutes, buy more data?
They might do it on other phones. I don't think they're going to do it on the Prime. That's not the spirit of the Prime, right?
Right.
Yeah, but that spirit of the Prime went away when Google released one on Sprint and some things changed.
True.
Google has learned that they need to give in just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us don't like it. Some people realize it's okay, but it's just the facts of life.
Yeah, and there's a fine line. And I understand mm-hmm. they have to walk the line. Let's keep going through the features. Better accessibility features. Really like simple touch gestures. You can actually, you know, not quite. Can you talk to it yet and tell it which way to go? In tool around the desktop? I keep calling it the desktop. Wow. Why do I keep doing that? Am I really starting to look at it like that? I'm just going to call it the desktop.
It's
screw
to it. A desktop, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
They announced it. They announced it during the event. They're calling it a desktop now.
Yeah. Updates to the Gmail app, to the calendar. The calendar looks very much like the WebOS app, I think. The WebOS calendar, which was excellent and kind of the same idea, whereas the WebOS had the accordion, you know, you could stretch out your event and see every or your, you know, your day and see other stuff that's going on. You could very much do that with Pinch and Zoom now. Just saying.
I think it's very interesting that they included so many features in this that are very WebOS centric. Look mm-hmm. at the market they're going after.
Yes.
I mean, those guys just basically, you know, who knows what they're going to do, you know, with WebOS, but there's a lot of features in there that are going to be attractive to people that are thinking about, you know, which operating system should I switch to?
The contacts.
The iPhone or
yeah,
or Android.
And you're seeing that in the contacts too, right? Looks, it's very much a cross between WebOS and Synergy. And I think Google's always done a pretty good job of that anyway. I know Steve Ballmer or Andy Lees, I forget who, was you know, saying how flattering it was that they basically ripped us off and ripped off the contacts and and pulling in your you know, your Twitter status into your contacts. Well, no, actually, that's been done before. And I'm pretty sure Sense did that a while ago, right?
Yeah, my hero did that 2 years ago. So
you know, it was notably missing from that, and it's probably just because they didn't have one set up. But I didn't see Facebook listed.
Oh, of course you didn't see Facebook listed.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Alex?
Noteworthy.
I was just saying that's got to be intentional, surely.
Yeah, absolutely.
With Google Plus.
Absolutely.
Open. There's no reason why Facebook couldn't potentially plug into that.
Yeah, but no, and I'm sure it will.
Certainly something you want at your launch event.
Visual voicemail as part of Android. Again, carriers.
Yeah, I worry that the carriers are going to stomp on that a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Jerry.
Well, and they might have to, right? Because of the way it all works. And,
yeah.
And I don't know enough about that.
I mean, no conspiracy theories, but, you know, it's got to work for T-Mobile and Verizon and everybody else.
But if
it's
you use, say, Google
all
Voice.
About Google Voice.
Right.
Everybody, that's what everyone uses anyway.
No, that's what nobody uses.
Yeah, that's going to work fine.
that's what, like, you and I use, but not, no. Not
you don't
everybody.
Think so?
Yeah, not everybody, by far. The camera, I know we've talked about the camera a little bit, but the app itself has been redone. Nice. I'm very happy to see Panorama finally added in there. I wonder if they had to license that from somebody, which is why we never did. Yeah, Samsung has it, right? But Sense doesn't have it. Gingerbread doesn't have it. I love Panorama. I love taking those one out. New gallery app. cool. Photo editing, cool. Not the first phone we've seen photo editing on, but nice to have it. And you get all these features and filters and all that crap that I don't use. Therefore, it sucks. But if you like it, it's there. Browser. Hey, like the browser's not Chrome. How about that? Remember, like, the day that was going to happen?
Not Chrome yet.
Not Chrome yet.
Let's not rule it out.
Yeah. No. There's nothing stopping them from just putting Chrome out on the market one day.
Right.
Just randomly.
It's all WebKit.
Or just changing the name and calling it Chrome.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they could do that.
They finally made it so, you know, there's just so many alternatives anyway, you know, especially with browsers. Mm-hmm. But with the built-in Android app, I've always been frustrated that you couldn't set the user agent to desktop. So you're forced to mobile sites a lot of the time. And so it's pretty cool. You can switch to a desktop view now instead of having to switch to a different browser.
Yeah, I think you could get that if you got to the debug options, but it was kind of a pain to do that. Whereas now it's just a button and it's right there and you press it.
Yeah.
I want to talk about beaming.
Ooh, beaming.
So this is an NFC device, near field communication. And if you're just joining us in this little Android world, that's a little very, very short range radio that lets you, you know, literally you tap your phone to something and it communicates with it. So the big thing they're all pushing out is mobile payments, right? And NFC payments. So you're in a cab, you tap your phone and MasterCard already has this with little PayPass fobs, right? You tap your phone with the thing and it pays. So now with beaming, you can touch two phones together. And, you know, if you're looking at a web page, you push the beam button, or you don't even push the button. You just touch it to the other phone and it automatically sends the web page. Or Google Maps is updated today and it was updated to control NFC. And that's exactly what it's there for, right? So you can send a location.
Right.
Useful. Do we maybe just not fully understand the potential of it yet?
Well, I think that one thing this showed is that NFC is not just about payments anymore.
Right.
I can see games, networking, all kind of stuff that can be done. You know, my wife uses Android sometimes. I use an Android phone. We're both sitting on the couch doing nothing. We could play Angry Birds in tandem mode or something.
You're going to start touching each other's phones or bumping each other's phones together?
Yes, I will bump my wife's phone every chance I can get, Corey.
I'm going to bump your wife. Never mind.
I think it's a little bit gimmicky, personally.
Yeah, I mean,
the idea of finally being able to pay, like do the whole mobile payments thing. But I don't – well, first of all, I'm kind of neurotic about scratching my phone, so I wouldn't hit somebody's phone with mine for the life of me. But
well, always, Corey, always wrap your phone up before bumping somebody else's. Sorry.
Keep it protected, huh?
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know. I think it's the iPhone. I mean, there's been that bump app.
Right. And that's what I was going to say. I mean, it was 2 years ago that I last talked to them, I think a year and a half ago. But like, I mean, did that ever really take off so you could bump contacts?
I don't think it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think this is going to go beyond contacts.
No, totally.
It's an open API.
Uh-oh, where'd Jerry go? I can't hear Jerry.
He's audio.
Yay!
Hey.
There he is.
What were you saying?
What were you saying, Jerry?
I was going to say that this goes beyond contacts. It's an open API, and Android developers are some crafty little suckers. Look at some of the stuff they've come up with. I can't wait until they start to fool around with Beam.
You know what I totally want? I want something that I can plug into my computer via USB. So I can bump my phone to my computer. So I can bump
and
back and forth. So I can bump web pages. I can bump contacts. I mean, I think the possibilities there could be really interesting, especially for those of us with boring jobs who need to, you know, move. And not that you can't do it over the cloud. And so maybe, I mean, Chrome to phone never quite took off, I think, the way they wanted it to, right? And yeah, and that's exactly what Black Man Hex says. Why not use Chrome to phone? And I don't know. I don't. I don't know why I don't use Chrome to phone.
Well, and there's a million apps for syncing stuff within your house, too,
right,
over Wi-Fi. And I kind of think this is like going back to the days where, you know, did you ever like share a contact with someone over Bluetooth? Did you ever I mean, it's
no.
Yeah, maybe it's just bumping is the difference, but
you know what it made me think of? It made me think of the old Trio days and the old Palm days with IR.
Yes.
That's exactly what it made me think of. Mickey, I bet $5 Mickey has a device on his desk there with an IR port.
what do I have? Yeah.
I actually might too. Does this have IR? Yeah, nope.
Talk about it.
he's looking on the wall. Mickey's going to the wall. He's going back. Yeah, he's going to the wall.
There's one right there. It's on an old Windows mobile phone, but there is, you probably can't even see it, but there is one. Oh, right, yeah. There.
Nice.
Yep.
So I was just thinking about something, because the idea of being able to, and of course it's called Beam. I mean, how perfect is that for the name of Android's NFC product, right?
Right.
I was thinking about what is it going to allow? You know, there are a lot of possibilities there. Phil, your idea of pushing something from a computer over to the phone is very interesting. And does it necessarily have to be just a bit of information? What if it's additional data? What if it's some sort of media file? And I think what we're going to see, because NFC doesn't have that great of bit rate to it, you know, it's like half a megabit. It's really not that great. So, but what you can initiate some other connection. So if you can you know, bump two devices together, if they happen to be on the same Wi-Fi network, like a computer and a phone, that could initiate a file transfer then over Wi-Fi. And I think that is really compelling. I would love to be able to do that, grabbing some sort of media file and just wanting to throw it on my phone. I don't want to sync it. I don't want to open up another piece of software or anything like that. Just touch the thing to the computer and I've got that, you know, video or song or whatever it is right on my phone. I like that.
Oh, you know what I want? Yep. Sorry.
Just wait until you get to Google Music Parks with sharing songs and stuff.
Right, right. Or I want to go to a hotel and get to my hotel room, and there'll be a little box on the desk there, and I just go tap it, and then my phone or my tablet is connected to their Wi-Fi network.
Or Google at home.
Mm-hmm.
Buy the unit that plugs into your stereo, and you touch your phone to it, and it sets up some sort of connection that you can control your stereo with your phone. There's a lot
that
can do
right now.
A2DP, but just I don't know. Yeah. I think we're kind of shoehorning ourselves here into some weird things. I think really what we need to realize is that the there is a lot of possibility with it, because it's an active thing. Because you're physically taking two pieces of hardware and touching them together, and the idea of doing that and then some action happening from there is pretty good. I think there's going to be some things that we see. Yeah, pushing over a map or a web page is kind of like the textbook. Here's what we're going to show how to do this, but let's see what our developers can create from here.
Oh no, Keith R in Virginia in the chat room just said that his Prius has some sort of NFC connection with his key fob. Mm-hmm. Think of the security. If you don't have an NFC chip in your pocket, your phone won't work.
There you go.
How about this? How about think about it this way? How about if we can integrate that key to the car into our phone?
Right.
There you
get in the car, you touch your phone to your dash of your car, and you start the car. That's useful.
I mean, when someone steals your phone, they can then drive off in your car.
So don't keys already do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
Except that you've used an app on your phone to note where your car is.
Yeah, somebody grab your phone and open up Find My Car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, here's another one, Wi-Fi Direct. And this is something kind of in the same vein, and I don't think it gets enough credit. So you can connect your Wi-Fi-enabled device to another Wi-Fi-enabled device without having a hotspot or a router in between.
And great, bring out some sort of standard, at least on the Android side, because I've got the Optimus Black here, and I had that Galaxy S2. They both had Wi-Fi Direct, but they were incompatible with each other. Mm. That really bummed me out.
Yeah, that's no good. There are a ton of other like backend things we're not going to talk about, and we really haven't touched on the graphics because, frankly, I don't understand it, and it bores the crap out of me. But, I mean, look at what we've seen so far this year, just in teases from the likes of NVIDIA and Adobe and just everything that's coming out. So now that you have the hooks in there, you know, in the OS, I think we're really going to see some incredible graphics in the next 10, 12 months. Dan Morrell from Google did a really cool post about, hey, like, you know, we showed you a lot of cool stuff. Here's some stuff we didn't show you. And let me just run through those really quickly. The settings screen has been updated. The disabling apps thing. We didn't talk about that. So you can't uninstall apps that are still in ROM. I know this is the big one. So like you get a phone from Verizon or Sprint, and it's got all these craplets on in there, right? Just these apps that you're never going to use. City ID is what I always talk about. You can't uninstall them, and you can't actually uninstall them now. You know, they're still lurking in there, but you're going to be able to do pretty much the next best thing, and that's just get them out of the way. You'll take them out of the launcher, you know, out of your app drawer, and they will actually not have connection to data, so they can't do anything in the background either. And Jerry, there's another one. Do you think the carriers are going to muck with that somehow, or will they be able to?
Yeah, will they be able to? Yeah, they can do anything they want. It's open source. I don't know, Phil. I mean, we know Sprint won't. Sprint's doing the same thing already.
Sure.
I don't see any reason why. Maybe Verizon won't let you uninstall VCast, but that's okay. Most people need VCast because it's a way to get some apps that you can't get any other way. But for the most part, I think the carriers will be fine with you taking out dumb stuff like Verizon Maps or, you know, Telenav. I don't think they'll have a problem with it.
Oh, yeah. Somebody's asking about mobile hotspot in the chat. Yeah, I mean, mobile hotspot, I think, is still fair game. Sorry. Really, no way around it.
The thing is, it's still hidden behind a few layers of menu, so it's true. Not like it's going to be there shouting, say, oh, by the way, you can disable this crapware. It's still going to be on there, and it's still going to be more difficult to find than the ability to run the app, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
What is mobile hotspot?
No, just any preloaded stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, if this phone comes with any bloatware on at all, it's not a Nexus to me.
Well, I don't think we're talking about the Nexus necessarily, just anything with ICS in the future.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
Anything else we've missed? We've been talking about that for a while. Anything else you saw that we need to address, and we've got plenty more time to do it because, you know, we're going to start getting devices in hands very soon. This is a long haul.
Razer? How do you guys feel about this compared to the Razer?
Well, before we get to the Razer, The chat room's going wild about barometer. The barometer's just in there to help your GPS, just like it was on the Zoom. Went over it a year ago.
Right.
People are making a big deal about it. I have no idea why.
Yeah, Dan Merle came out on Google Plus again this morning and said, yeah, I mean, that's why it's there. So when you're determining GPS, you know, you do longitude, latitude, and altitude, right? Three dimensions. And that's all it's there for. It's in the Zoom. There's a barometer in the Zoom, and it's been in there since January. So people just saw it. It's sexy. It sounds cool, but no, it's not going to tell you the weather. And they said, look, you know, it's not that accurate. So
anyone that's ever bought a $50 altimeter from like an REI or something like that, it's using the barometric pressure to give you your altitude.
Right.
It's not connecting to GPS or anything like that.
It's not shooting a laser beam straight down and seeing the ground.
No.
What was that sound? Sorry, bar meter. That's what we need is a bar meter. Distance to the nearest bar.
I'm going to write it.
That would be nice.
Pretty sure there's already an app or five for that. All right, so you want to talk about the Razer. Andrew Vaca went to the event for us up in New York. I skipped out on that. And, you know, it's a phone. It's another phone. It looks like a really sexy, thin phone. They've already said it's going to get ICS, so that's good. Oh, yeah, that's what we need to talk about. Dinah put it in the show notes. Let's talk about Jerry's list. That's what we're going to call it. Jerry's list. So we did this.
I love you too, Phil.
I can't remember if we did it for Froyo. I know we did it for Gingerbread, and we went back and looked, and I think Jerry actually nailed the Gingerbread predictions.
I didn't hear you. What?
I think Jerry scored an A+. No, I'll call it an A-, but through no fault of his own. So I think every phone that Jerry predicted would get Gingerbread either has or is expected to, like we're seeing leaked builds. So he did pretty good. Now, we didn't go back and look at phones that have gotten it that he didn't list. You know, he didn't put the Hero on there. Yeah, so actually you did do a Froyo list, right? Because that's the one I gave you such a hard time on. So let's go through your ice cream sandwich predictions real quick. The Nexus S, obviously, Google has already said it's going to be updated. The Droid Razr, yes. Motorola has already said as much. The Atrix 2, Jerry says. Now, Jerry, explain the Motorola stuff, because you actually have a reason behind those, right?
Yes. I don't think it's coincidence that Motorola all of a sudden started using OMAP processors and iMation, you know, GPUs in their phones. They did it suddenly, and they just started doing it, and now it's on everything that they've released. It's high end. I don't think that's coincidence. I think they knew, you know, Google works with manufacturers more than Samsung knew kind of what was going to be the reference specs for ICS. Mm-hmm. So Motorola said, hey, let's make our phones with this high-end hardware that Google has already done a lot of work to make sure it's very optimized for ice cream sandwich. And I think that's what Google did.
Bingo. That's simple.
How's that going to work with the capacitive buttons? Are they can they just remove the, I guess, remove the on-screen buttons or what?
Well, it's on the Nexus S as well, ICS, so it'll support both.
Yeah.
You don't need to,
I'm sure there's a switch probably right in the build prop that you can toggle them on and off.
Yeah.
The question remains is, you know, some apps and especially some carrier apps, how are they going to handle the menu button and that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll be just fine. I mean, look at in Honeycomb now, right? You have two options for the menu button. One is an old legacy type menu button that's down there by home and back and all that, and it looks like crap. Mm-hmm. And the other is to move them up in the action bar where they're supposed to be. So, I mean, and it's going to take – I don't think you're going to see that completely go away till probably the next version, maybe even two more versions. I don't know. I mean, like maybe this time next year you won't have support for, you know, a legacy button like that. That's my prediction.
Anyway. Oh,
yeah.
So Droid Bionic, Droid 3, all of the Galaxy S2 phones, and we said all four, but really all of the Galaxy S2 phones, right? Not just the US, but Canada.
Yeah, well,
wherever
I counted the international version and then the three that, you know, came to the States.
Cool. So HTC, and we talked a little bit about this earlier with the customization. So HTC is kind of the wild card, but Jerry's saying the Evo 3D, all of the Sensations. The Amaze 4G, and I'll.
I cannot see HTC dropping those. Yep. Those phones have to get it.
And the Amaze and the Sensation are basically the same phone. They're pretty close. No Incredible 2.
That's part of my. I have no freaking clue that I have to get into at the end.
Yeah, and
Thunderbolt. Well, there's the hardware
a lot of phones that were released this year that would run ice cream sandwich, in my opinion, really well. Mm. But it comes down to, does anybody want to spend money to update them? And I don't think so.
All of the Xperia phones, and Sony Ericsson has already said all of the Xperia phones.
Yeah,
I don't think Sony Ericsson gets enough credit for this right now, because think back to 2 years ago, right, or a year and a half ago, when SE put out the X10, and it took forever to come out, and then it came out with, did it come out with Donut? I think it did.
Yes, it did.
It came out with Donut, and it took forever to get updated. Yeah, it was ridiculous. And, I mean, Sony Ericsson was a laughingstock for doing that, right? And now they're saying, oh, yeah, you know, absolutely. In fact, they already said, yes, we're upgrading everything to Gingerbread. Now they're going one further. And, you know, these, like, hardware-wise, these are really good phones. So I don't think Sony's gotten enough credit, or Sony Ericsson has gotten enough credit for committing to do that. And so
bring them to the States, because Sony Ericsson, the reason why they haven't got
credit for it is because none of their phones are out over there.
True.
They released the phone with Gingerbread before the Nexus One got it.
Yep.
That so, I mean, that says a lot.
LG. So you're a little miffy on LG, right?
Yeah. LG tries so hard. Mm-hmm. And I love LG's hardware, but they're a little bit newer than the other big three. And they're going through the growing pains that we've got with the Hero and, you know, with some of the early Motorola phones. They didn't get updated very fast, and the updates were pretty crappy. And now LG is going through that, and they'll get better. They've got to learn how to keep up with Android.
Can the hardware handle it?
I love the hardware. Oh, yeah.
I've got an Optimus 3D here, which is very, very similar to the in terms of internals anyway, very similar to the reference platform for ICS, and yet it's on Froyo, and the date for Gingerbread is December.
Yeah. I don't want to go through all the maybe phones that Jerry listed. You can go read the post. We'll have a link in the show notes. But yeah, the Thunderbolt, Jerry, you've got in your maybe category?
No. The Thunderbolt is in the I have no freaking clue category.
Okay.
The only real thing in the maybe category is the original Snapdragon phones.
Right.
I do not think HTC is going to want to spend any money to update the Evo or the Desire or the Incredible. But I really do think Google is going to try hard to get it on the Nexus One.
Yeah, I think the Nexus One's going to be 50-50.
Yep. Will that make a difference with HTC if Google does all the hard work and then HTC can, you know, all we need to do is put the new Sense we've made and try to backport it over? Maybe, but I'm not looking for it.
A lot of those original Snapdragon HTCs have issues with storage space as well. So the Desire's got half a gig and you've got to get Sense in there. And there was all this stuff earlier in the year with how we're going to fit Gingerbread and Sense on there. So I think the Desire is pretty much done on Gingerbread. Whether that applies to the original Evo, don't know.
So you don't think – it seems like there would be a lot of code rewrite in order to make Ice Cream work on a lot of these devices, right? So you don't think there's –
That's an unknown, Corey. I'm basing my assumption that there will need to be some code rewrite.
Sure.
I am sure that it was done with the idea in mind is let's make the operating system work with any GPU driver, and we'll let manufacturers make the correct GPU driver. You know, that's the right way to do it, but it doesn't always work out that way. So I have to kind of balance my optimism and my pessimism together here.
I mean, Blackman X says Nexus One won't get it, but even if that's the case, you're going to get Cyanogen or something.
Right. Yeah. Custom ROMs.
Running.
I'm sure.
Custom ROMs.
Yes. Custom ROMs. You will see it. You'll see Ice Cream Sandwich ported the whole way back to the Hero and Eris. It'll run crap, but somebody will do it.
I'm sure we have some. Well, we have a guy in the forums doing it right now for the Nexus S, and I know the LG guys in our forums are going to come up with something.
Yeah, well, in what you're seeing right now are the SDK ports. I did a post yesterday on, you know, here's what's going to happen, right? So things have to go in order. So, you know, you'll see the code drop. You'll see the AOSP code hit right probably a little bit after the Galaxy Nexus is released if history proves correct again, right? Jerry, we didn't talk about tablets at all. We're going to do a post on that. But, I mean, I think those are pretty obvious, right? The Honeycomb tablets should all be upgraded. Asus has already said the Transformer will be by the end of the year, actually.
Yep, that's what they said last night.
Gone.
Somebody? Anybody?
What I was going to say is that, so obviously all the Honeycomb tablets, which are Tegra-based, are going to be getting ICS. So what does that mean for all the Tegra phones out there? Because you've got the original Atrix, the G2X, the Optimus 2X. Is that going to make it any easier to bring ICS over to those devices?
I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. Two of them are LG, and LG has its hands full just trying to get Gingerbread on their phones. And the third one, the Atrix, is a dead, out-of-life, end-of-life model. That's going to be the last thing on Motorola's list to get updated. Sorry.
Wow.
Original Galaxy Tab. No. Sorry.
Nope. I don't think the Flyer is going to get it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what my wild card is. I think ViewSonic's going to try to get something on the G Tab. They're crazy like that. They're crazy like that. And I can see them try to do it. And they work close with the developers over at XDA.
True. I'm going to start wrapping up a little bit. There's so much more.
Oh, real quick, yes. I do want to talk about the Thunderbolt, because like a dummy, I sort of glanced past the Thunderbolt in my little list, mm-hmm. and you had to remind me that, you know, hey, that's a phone a lot of people care about. The Thunderbolt, the Desire HD, the Inspire, those phones would be sweet with Ice Cream Sandwich, I have no doubt. But I don't think that any time or money is going to be spent on getting those updated very soon. If any of them, I could see Verizon really pushing to get the Thunderbolt updated, but HTC's not going to worry about updating the Thunderbolt until after they have the Sensation, the Evo 3D, the Amaze, all the new Sensations, this new Resound that's coming out. A lot of stuff is in front of the Thunderbolt in the update list.
Have the carriers and manufacturers shot themselves in the feet by by having so many damn devices? And I've heard rumors that Verizon's going to put out basically a device a week by the end of the year. We've seen Sprint announce three this week already since the Ice Cream Sandwich event. Now, I mean, one of them is their first Direct Connect phone on CDMA, so that's going to be a special case. The other one is a Boost Mobile phone, and then what was the other one? I forget the third one. So, I mean, you're going to have, you know, this weird category of devices anyway that probably will never see ICS. But, I mean, Jesus, look at the list we did last week of those charts. How many devices are out? It's insane. It's nuts. I don't know what to do with it.
And you have to review all of them.
Yeah, then there's that. And I'm almost done with Sensation. I'm only like two devices behind now, I think. I don't know. We've got so much more coming up. I want to do a couple quick emails real quick. We'll skip the voicemails tonight. There's just so much going on. Levi writes, just wondering if you guys might like to venture any guesses about how Ice Cream Sandwich will affect third-party launchers. It seems as though the native launcher in ICS borrows a little from some of these, especially in the dock. But maybe now these launchers will try to copy some of the additional features of ICS and give other phones some of the functionality without rooting. Also, these launchers, will they be useless on Ice Cream Sandwich phones and tablets, or do you think there will be some room for expanded capabilities not included in the native ICS launcher? Yeah, I mean, I tell you what I've seen, like, it makes me not want to use a third-party launcher. I say that not having used it yet, but, I mean, just sight unseen.
I don't know. I'll be tempted.
Well, it's I love to use I like ADW. I like the open source version. I know, Phil, you like the paid version. People love Launcher Pro. But I've tried them on Honeycomb, and I like Honeycomb's launcher better than any third-party launcher. So I'm going to have to agree with you. I think Ice Cream Sandwich, I'm just going to keep stock.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see. I think it might really make the launcher – developers kind of not step up their game, but really have to think about, you know, what they can do different to stand out.
Right. And
that's not a bad thing.
Guys too, man.
Yeah.
So if you're going to go into the market, actually, so we've never touched it yet. Right. But if you're going to the market, I mean, you'd be making a choice between Ice Cream Sandwich, the stock UI, and whatever else is in there. I don't know. I still think some people are going to be tempted to try other things.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
And Patrick writes, by the time you guys read this, Ice Cream Sandwich will already be out, and we should know the answer. Will we be getting a way to play music over the USB connection? I dare say it like iOS. I would kill to have a stereo at home and in my car that would allow me to control it not only with a remote, but to be able to charge it at the same time without more than one cable. I want a big touchscreen car stereo to control the music on my phone. Yes, I want this. We should be able to do it now. And I don't quite understand. Is it?
No.
What? Why not?
That's going backwards.
No.
The data port should only be for when you need to hook it up if you're a geek. This is the age of wireless.
No. Bluetooth sucks. I hate Bluetooth music. It sounds horrible. Mickey, I mean, you've got iPhones out the wazoo. You got Blackberries out the wazoo. Do you use Bluetooth for music or no? Say no.
Every single day.
Really?
I have I have a really good Bluetooth A2DP. It's from a company called Canex. It's mm-hmm. the AirBlue. It's only $50, and it's not wired. It never will be wired, but it's as good as I've heard. There's no dropouts, no flakiness, unless, of course, I'm using it with a BlackBerry, but that's a whole other problem.
Put a link in the chat. Plug.
Okay.
Maybe they'll send us all.
I want to know why in the world we don't have Wi-Fi in our cars yet.
Ooh.
There's certain ones that do.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I want to be able to plug it in because I want to keep it charged. That's my thing.
Well, you can.
So.
Bluetooth's pants.
Yeah, you can do that now.
No, I mean, plug it in. And I would rather plug it in. Maybe I'm old. I'm a curmudgeon.
Well, all I know is that some of the early HTC Android phones, you could play audio out through the USB connection.
You and needed a splitter.
Apple does it.
Right.
But
I've got a USB.
I mean, that's just backwards.
I've got a USB port in my car. I just want to be able to plug the phone in.
Yeah.
So you have a USB port, but you don't have an input jack, a 3.5 millimeter input.
Correct.
Well, see, then buy a new stereo.
Buy a new car.
I bought it for the USB.
Buy a new car.
Actually, my brother has one that has both, so that's what I need to get. And that, boys and girls, I think is going to do it. Unless the chat room really wants to scream about one more thing, and we can talk about one more thing.
Now's your chance, guys.
Yeah, because otherwise you're going to have to wait like a whole week. Or, you know, read one of the 5,000 posts we're about to drop on you. What else do you want to hear about the Razer? There's not a lot to say. I mean, we could talk about
the Moto Active.
Yeah, the Active or the Nano Watch. Yeah, the iPod Nano that Motorola just announced that cost twice as much. Although, I think we're going to have Georgia from Tippy review it, though, because she and she loves the iPhone Nano, iPod Nano, and loves using it as a watch, and really wants it to connect to her phone and show messages and stuff. So we're going to have her do it. Wow, that's the last time I asked the chat room for suggestions, by the way. So
acceleration.
If ice cream sandwich isn't that big of a deal,
just doesn't work.
One at a time, boys and girls. One at a time, boys and girls.
Sorry.
Wow. Hey, you know what? And the Kindle Fire comes out in like 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
That's sad. We forgot all about that.
Oh,
all this new news.
I haven't forgotten about it. It's still out there, hanging over our heads. Yoy.
Got a new Transformer coming out that we saw.
Yeah, the Transformer Prime. The
Transformer Prime.
I've got the slider here. I'm going to finally get that up and shipped out of here this week, too. But, yeah. There's so much stuff.
Prime name.
I know. How about that?
Yeah, that was pretty slick, wasn't it?
Yeah. Hey, I do want to say, though, I mean, if ice cream sandwich is not a big deal to you, if you're just an average consumer and you're looking at the Razer, it's a fine phone.
Oh, yeah.
The specs on it are pretty nice.
Yeah, no, I kind of wish I'd gotten to play with it. Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with the Razer. I think if you go out and buy the Razer today, you will be completely happy with it.
It's water repellent.
I'm going to have to disagree.
Ooh.
It has a water repellent coating on it.
It has a splash guard. That's what it is.
NFC.
Well, that's true.
A new Android phone, it has to come with NFC, in my opinion.
Yeah, so you can bump those contacts.
Well, who knows what you'll be able to do with it. That's why.
Yeah, buy the NFC right now for potential, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if it turns out to be a dud in a year, everybody can say, Jerry, you're an idiot. You will anyway.
All right, fine.
And with that, I think we're going to wrap it up. Mickey, good to have you back. Congrats on the kid, by the way.
Thank you much.
Mickey was showing him off earlier. Looks good. Job well done. And I hear your wife had something to do with it, too, so congrats to her.
Indeed.
And with that, Mickey, wrap us up.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, send us an email to podcast@androidcentral.com or give us a call, 888-468-6158. Type in extension 222. We will get you on the show. If you'd like to follow what we do, you can follow the site at Android Central is how you can do that. Phil is at Phil Nickinson. I am at TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is at GB Hill. Corey is at C Streeter. And you can follow all of the other writers, including Alex over at Android Central. That's all on Twitter, of course. You can also follow our Google Plus feeds as well. Mine is pretty bare, but I know you guys are all using them a lot. Yes. Anyway, if you... if anything else, I guess, right? You can just hit us up on Twitter. Brought to you by the Android Central Store. Found at store.androidcentral.com. Give us a call, 888-468-6158.
Deal of the Day is still rocking, by the way. If you haven't seen those, you can get some really good stuff at really cheap prices. So do it. I'm to the point where I'm almost buying stuff off it too. It's so cheap. I don't mind saying it. It's like, damn. Okay, I'm gonna get one of those. So that's it. Jerry, Corey, Mickey, Alex, I know you're still out there. Thank you. Renee is lurking in the background. Thank you, Renee, for rocking the live video so everybody can now watch us and not just hear us live every Thursday night or whenever we get around to doing the podcast. And that's it. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Farewell, farewell. Bye. Our feeder saying I'll do.
He's singing.
I'm singing.
Good night. Good night.
Good night. We're done.
Good night. Bye.